This is The Peaceful Corner, Fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Peaceful Corner. We're here to fellowship with the Holy Spirit once again. And today, I am with a special person. Very special. Although he doesn't want me to give him any titles, but God have mercy. I'm just going to let him introduce himself.
Okay, hello everyone, good morning. My name is Elijah. For the time being, we'll be discussing and fellowshipping together about the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. thank you for coming.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Glad to have you here, you know. So, like we discussed last time, we're speaking on holiness, and so today we're going to continue in that line, speaking on holiness. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Mr. Elijah is here to, shed more light into holiness. So maybe I'll just let him introduce our topic today as well. And then we'll talk. Like I always say, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're here together with us, and we're just fellowshipping.
Just fellowshipping.
Yeah, we're conversating. So, okay, over to you.
Okay. Again, let me say thank you for having me on this podcast. Thank you. Now, on the subjects of holiness, we have had this mentality when the subject of holiness has been mentioned, it seems to be very uneasy with us. Everyone seems to be scared and something terrible is coming. And the idea of God has been sold to us with the term holiness makes us feel uneasy, feel this fear, this fear like nature in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that, but then looking at scripture, so you precise Leviticus 19:2.
Okay.
Where the word holiness was first introduced.
Yeah.
Now here was God saying when he was talking to Moses, mm-hmm. He said, tell these people, I who call them, I am holy. For this cause they should be holy also.
Yeah.
Now this term does not mean they should be scared or live a kind of life that is uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, holiness does not literally interrupt your life.
Yeah.
It does not mean don't live the life God has ordained you for. It doesn't mean don't do what you feel is right. But then, in everything you do, have the consciousness of who you are.
Right.
Yes. Mm. Have the consciousness of this is who I am and this is what I stand to represent.
That's right.
So this consciousness will literally guide you. Will literally be the decipher between good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Having this consciousness in you will tell you, no, I need not to go this way because the one who has called me wouldn't allow me to go this way.
Yeah.
If he was to be here, he wouldn't have done this.
That's right.
So that consciousness in us will literally guide us.
Mm.
This is what the term holiness looks like. It's not like a religious subject.
Mm-hmm.
I feel and I believe from scripture, this is who God is.
Yeah.
This is his person.
Yeah.
So this is how he lives. And by extension, if he had called me into that office to be holy,
yeah.
If he had called me to himself, I should also find myself living
like
effortlessly like him.
Yeah.
I am not trying to mimic him now. I am not trying to pretend who I am not. I am not trying to act what I know I am not. I am living my life as ordained by God in a holy way. Maybe one would want to say that the Old Testament. Now let's come over to the New Testament as it is.
Yeah.
Now, the laws and the prophets and then what you call grace. But then, before we even digress, you see the original word for holiness, the Greek or the Hebrew word means kudes, kudex.
Okay.
Now, it means to be sacred.
Hmm.
It means to be separated.
Yeah.
It means to be distinguished.
Okay.
It means to be different from others. So this takes me to what we now call the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he was speaking in 2 Corinthians 6 now.
Yeah.
He said, come out from among them and be ye separated.
Yeah.
Remember, by the nature of man, by default, we are sinners.
That's right.
The psalmist was saying, in sin did my mother conceive me, and in sin did my mother bore me.
Yeah.
So, by this entirety, man by default has what you call uncleanness in him. And no man in his default state had the moral standing to stand before God.
Yes, that's true.
So, if this is true, if I come to the realization of who Christ is, what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection, if I now affiliate myself to this and believe and trust what he did, I no longer have my life to live. Everything I live, I now live in him, like just like
that's
the apostle.
Right. Yeah.
I no longer live, but the life I live in Christ, who lives through me. So this is no longer my power.
Yeah.
So if I come to that realization, and I have come to that point, I will literally see that the things I used to do, I'll find myself not doing them.
Yes, sir.
Here the word "comfort" is coming in now.
Yeah.
Come out from among them and be ye separated.
Yeah.
Why? He who has called you is sacred. He who has called you is separated.
Yeah.
He said, for I called Abraham alone. So it has to be a conscious decision.
Yeah.
If this is made consciously, I am separating myself. I am coming to a new fold. I am not trying to pretend. That mentality of this is what Christ did for me, it has a way of transforming me. It has a way of helping my unbelief.
Yes.
It has a way of working in my person.
Yes.
I am transformed by that belief already. Now, let's take it further. Now, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. You know, chapter 6 was talking about coming out from among them.
Yeah.
Because you need to be separated. What communion does life have with darkness?
Yes.
And what fellowship does the kingdom of God have with all of that now? And he told us the blessings that comes afterward. Remember, it all follows the premise and the premise of holiness.
Yes.
Now, it is on this platform you see the real definition and the true self of who you are. Now you manifest that which God wants you to manifest. Remember, man by default does not have life to live on his own.
That's right.
If I must fulfill anything you call destiny, it must be rooted and routed through the office of the Christ.
Yes, that's true.
And Christ is holy. It does not mean, remember, let me digress a little. Again, I am still coming, when the word holiness comes, does not mean one needs to be scared or feel uneasy again.
Yeah.
Remember Jesus, who was God in person on earth, he was still hungry. At a point, he got angry.
Yes, that's true.
So who said you are holy and you can't be angry?
I mean, even God, the Bible tells us that God gets angry as well.
Good.
But he's slow to anger.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Slow to anger.
Yeah.
You know, the people came and they were like, who exactly are you? How can you say you are God and you are there, you are sitting with sinners, you are eating with this?
Yeah.
You are one of them.
That's right.
Yes, you are one of them. You know, at the point they were accusing him, this guy is casting out demons with Beelzebub.
Yes, they did. They did.
Because, okay, let's understand, when we talk about holiness, it is not something that looks so sacred. No.
Yeah, I think, you know, they probably, there was like an understanding of holiness as
good.
Like this, you know, it didn't mingle with, you know, the
exactly.
normal person. It was
exactly.
just, like you said, sacred. You know, I think we even see that in how the, you know, what the priests did, right? When they entered into the the temple, and you know, only them could enter. They had
only
to,
them,
you know, be pure. And so I think they probably went with that mindset of that's what holy means.
Mm-hmm.
No, it can't.
I agree with
it can't mingle with the normal life. You know, so when, like you said, the example of Jesus casting out the demons, and because maybe they hadn't seen it before,
exactly,
they just assumed that, you know, no, he's probably using some power, you know, to cast out the demons.
Good.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let me. We heard about the God's generous. There was one of them by name Maria Woodward Eater.
Okay.
We saw something happen that I wouldn't want to call the other person's name. for the purpose of this broadcast.
Okay.
So it doesn't create a discrepancies or a confusion in the body of Christ.
Right.
Now we saw that once upon a time God used our mind today that under her administration we could see people literally get slain under the Holy Spirit, and for hours they are there.
Yeah.
For hours they are just there. And this was a dimension that was not common then at the then world. Now the one who was literally pioneering the move of God then, I wouldn't want to call his name, like I did say, among the God's generals, when he heard of what Maragudotita was doing at the other end, he said, no, this can't be God. This has to be with some spirits. What have you. And coupled with the fact that she's a woman. So from where did you get this power from?
Yeah.
It's only accessible by, you know, the male gender and what have you. So no, this can't be. Now, this man of God joined her ex-husband and fought that woman. Fought the move of God.
Wow.
Fought the move of God. And we saw how the ex-husband died from history. He died, and then until God had to deal with this man at the later end of his life, then he realized it was God who was working with her. So let's understand, it is not as sacred as we think.
Yeah.
It is not gender based. It spreads across all gender and all race and all phase of life.
That's right.
So we must understand this. It does not take away, you are still the same mortal body. Because we are in this world of men, there are certain things you will do.
That's right.
There are literally some things that the physical body and the build of the natural man will adapt to.
That's true.
It doesn't take the spirit from you.
Yeah.
It is the spirit that we talked about here.
Yeah.
Now, in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, having talked about the separation, all of that in chapter 6 and promises. And here he said, having therefore these promises, remember from chapter 6, talk about separation and what then will follow, here are light. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves. Now, hope you understand that the natural flesh is enmity with God.
God, yes.
There is a constant contrast between the two.
That's right.
So, if I will live that which you now call holy, I must understand, like Paul, the life I now live is not mine.
Yeah.
I must also understand now that by this new status or office, or this sacred oath of priesthood I have been called into, what you call holiness, it simply means by strength shall no man prevail. Let me use that word. I have not come to a point where I say, take all of me.
That's right.
Let my will be harnessed in you.
Yeah.
When we sincerely come to this admission, we see ourselves do some things literally we won't have wanted to do.
That's true.
Because it is not within the confines of the natural man. I will always say there are certain possibilities that the human, unassisted by the spirit, can do.
Can do, yeah.
Certain possibilities, certain results we cannot get.
Yeah.
Except and unless we are assisted by the realm of the spirit.
That's true.
So if I yield myself, take a look at the disciples, most of the apostles. So their deaths were something we should even look at, and they were happy doing it.
They were.
No. Just look at it.
I mean, I was reading. I think in the book of Acts, where Peter, I forget the other guy, but they were caught,
yes,
right after they told them not to,
yes,
you know, preach, and they were happy that, you know, they flogged them. And I remember I was just thinking, I was like, wow, Peter is such a bold
person. Such a bold man.
Because every time he went, he'd like, you know, he would remind them that they're the ones that killed Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And he was like, the whom you actually killed. And I was like, wow. And so every time they would tell them not to, they would still go back.
Exactly.
Because, you know, like you said, they understood that this was the life that they now live.
This is the life we now live.
Yeah.
This is the life we now live. I am no longer living my life. In the first place, I don't have it.
Yeah.
He breathed upon man his breath, and that became life in him.
That's right.
So if he breathed on man, and there by virtue, remember he said, let's make mine our own image.
Yeah.
There was an intent. There was a predefined platform and jurisdiction for man.
Yes.
There was already a template for man. But here we are saying we live in contrast because by nature of the flesh, the mixture of what man is being made for, the what we now call the body that hosts the spirit.
Yes.
Is subject to some things, what you call the environment and the flesh.
That's right. That's
so
right.
That's where your contrast comes in.
Yeah.
So if I now come to the realization that, oh yes, the life belongs to him in the first place, there are things who owns the life want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a product, the product comes with the manual.
Yes, sir.
And for that product to function effectively and productively, consider the man to go through the manual.
Yeah.
And there are some products that they even tell you, within your usage, if you notice some fault and something, please
bring it back.
Bring back to the factory.
Yes.
This is where we now get back to the ministry of the word and the spirit.
Mm. That's true.
The natural man, with the things we see, with the things we hear, does not in himself have the ability and what it takes to live holy.
Mm.
Oh yes.
Mm. That's true.
So if I will want to be like him who has called me into marvelous light, from obscure darkness to marvelous light, I must submit myself totally to him.
That's true. I mean, I think even bouncing off of that, like you said, we don't have the ability to live by ourselves, right? And I think even when we see, like the Bible tells us about the heart of man, you know, because sometimes you see how like the evil people do, and you know, it's sometimes I wonder, I'm like where on earth think like come up with these things, like how are they thinking that like killing somebody is okay?
It's okay,
you know what I mean?
The heart of man is terrible.
Yeah, but the Bible, it tells us that the heart of man is terrible, you know, desperately wicked.
Yes.
Right. And so like you said, there's without that, without God, right, and like you said, being by the spirit, we're not actually able to live holy. Right, because if we were, everybody else should live holy.
Oh yes.
Right, you know, even people who are in religion, I mean, they may do religious things, but it does not mean that they live a holy life. They may act like it and they may dress like it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're living a holy life.
Oh yes.
And like you said, we have to live, in order for us to live a holy life, we must do it by the Spirit of God.
By the Spirit.
You know, by the manual.
Yes.
Manual. You know, sometimes we even get products and we don't look at the manual. And we start putting it together, and you know, something goes wrong, and then you have to start again, right? And so I think in the same way, when even when we first come into the world, we come sinners, like you mentioned.
Mm.
But I think sometimes people don't, instead of being guided by the word, we try and just do life based off how society has placed it for us, you know, because you know, naturally you get your, like, you're born, you know, you raise your child, they go to school, they do this, they do that. Right, and then there's not that, and then you somehow find a way to put God in that, whereas God should have been the start of it from the, you know, like the center of it from the beginning. If God was the start and the center of it from the beginning, everything will actually, your life will move better, right?
Better.
Like I said, if we follow the manual, it will last.
Yeah.
It will last longer than, you know, if you just put it together, by yourself.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. No.
Now let's further go into it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, from where we read from, clean yourself from all forms of uncleanliness and of the flesh and of the spirit.
Yeah.
I think it's important I also state here that holiness is not a way of life.
Mm.
It's not a culture.
Right.
Holiness is the life of God himself.
Mm, that's true. Wow.
Yes. You see, we have been so much taught that when we talk about holiness, we look at the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we walk, the things we do. Oh, come on, dear friends. Let's come out of that.
Yeah. No, that, I think that that's really profound, actually. Like you said, holiness is not a culture.
Good.
You know, I think because, you know, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who have the culture of holiness.
Mm.
You know, like there's some denominations that have a culture of holiness.
Of holiness.
You know, and so like it's, like you said, it's based off, oh, you know, what you wear or how you speak.
It's more than that.
Yeah, and I remember hearing like our general Rosario was talking about. He was talking about that. He said holiness is not in what you wear.
No,
you
it's
know,
not.
It's not how you dress. You know, and like you said, it's not a culture. I think we have for a long time when we do, like at the beginning, you said when we hear holiness, we're always like scared, right?
There's this tension that comes with it, this serenity that, come on.
I feel like to the point where people don't even feel like they can live holy.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's possible to live
holy. It's very possible.
Yeah. But it's very possible. Yeah. It's possible to live holy.
Very possible. Yeah. Very, very possible. You see, why do I say it is not a culture? Tell them, me who has called them, I am holy. It is not my way of life. This is my person.
That's right.
This is who I am.
Right.
This is not what I wear. That was why we saw Jesus, who was God represented in man.
Yeah.
His life was at a point controversial.
That's right. Oh, very.
Yes.
Very.
No, sorry to say. No, please, I am not by this trying to force. I know we have some religions who teaches people the way to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
The way. I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel believers have to be methodically mentored.
That's true.
To the end that we are transformed into the very image of Christ.
That's right.
See, where we have all of this type of culture of holiness, this is where what we call apostasy comes in.
Mm. Mm.
Sometimes, in a way to mold some persons, we veer the way from the word has been given to us. And then, most times, we don't even know we are veered away. We think we are still in line.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, most times, when those who are who will not look up to as mentor, when they realize that they have the other way, it's usually most times difficult
to bring everybody back
to accept and come up, because they will not say, what will people say?
Exactly.
How do my followers look at me? So they rather keep them in that status quo till they find that light wherever they, if God help them.
You know, I've always actually thought, because when you think about it, who, like, I remember in class, one of my classes, we used to always say, who gets to decide what? You know what I mean? Like, who get, like, so in the culture of holiness, or like you said, some, you know, places or some leaders have set these certain things. It's like, not that what gives you the right, but like, how do you know that you are to decide what this is to look like? Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Whereas the manual that God has given unto us, the Bible, already, like, you know, puts it exactly for us in how we're supposed to do it. Like you said, eventually when there is that realization, it's hard, you know, because it maybe has been years and years of repeating
decades.
The same thing, right? And so now, how do you now help everybody to come back?
It has not become a pattern.
Yeah.
How do you change it?
How do you change it? And like you said, this is who God is. Like the Bible tells us, be holy for I am.
I am holy.
I am holy. This is who I am. This is not like a byproduct, right? Mm-hmm. Or like something that I need to do or add on to myself.
No,
this is who I am.
This
so
is who I am.
Like you said, we as children of God are supposed to be like Christ, right? So in our even though we live in this body, we are to be holy as well.
Conscious
of
who we are.
Exactly.
I am a joint heir
with Christ.
I am seated far.
Yeah, far above.
I am light.
Mm.
I am a salt.
That's right.
But literally, do you have to put me in the food?
No.
As salt to season food. But then the consciousness of what my presence and value is to man.
Yeah. And I think it even goes back to how you stated, you know, in the beginning, God says, I created man in my own.
In my own image.
In my own image. Who
this
I am.
This was the template of God for man.
Yeah. Because even if we go back, like, maybe, like, to basics, I was like, God literally did create man in his own image. Because in the Bible, we see that he has hands.
Yes.
Right? You know, he has eyes.
Yes.
He has legs. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
He literally created us in his own image. And in his own, you know, image, he created all of us. And I remember I used to say, you know how God is light? And you know how we know that, like, when they say when you put all colors together, they become white, right?
Yeah.
They become clear. And I remember saying, I don't know, it was a random thought, but I said that God obviously created all of us different. We look different. And we look, you know, we don't have the same face or skin color.
Same
I was like, because we all make up a side of God.
Yes.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Like, all of us maybe who are dark, we make up one side of God.
One side of
but
God.
But we are all in
we
God,
are all in,
in his own image. You know, and like you said, that is who he is. So he created us
in his own image.
In his own image, in himself.
Yes.
So that we could have that consciousness.
Exactly.
That this is who we are.
Exactly.
And we can then live like that.
So, in living holy, from where we read from, We'll still take more scriptures to further buttress that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw that at the end, to make us perfect.
Mm.
One will not say, is it possible to live perfect on earth?
Yeah.
Sigh, is it possible? You know, here is a debate in the body of Christ. Again, I will still refer you, for by strength shall no man prevail. If you tell me, is it possible to live perfect on earth? First question, sir, I will answer you. But was Jesus perfect while he walked on earth?
That's right, exactly.
If the answer is yes, then I can walk perfect.
That's right, because we can be everything Jesus was and more. You know, we can be everything the Bible says we
and
can.
More.
And more.
Remember, he said, greater works are you doing.
Exactly, exactly.
So, if Jesus walked perfect while he was on earth,
mm-hmm.
I've already answered the question.
Definitely, you have. You definitely have.
Remember, before Jesus came, there was a man scripture testify of a man of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we want to talk about integrity, the first thing that comes to our mind is Job.
Yes, sir.
Scripture said he was upright in all his way.
Yeah.
Okay. What then do you call perfect? This was even during the times of the prophets and the law.
Yeah, not even when Jesus was there.
Now here was Jesus.
Yeah.
So the question again, sir, can someone live perfect on this earth?
Yes.
For by strength shall no man prevail, knowing this.
Yeah.
And coming to the realization of what Christ has done, his death, burial, and resurrection. And by extension, I now sit with him. I am a joint heir. Oh yes, I can live even more than what you think.
Yeah.
Now, let's proceed. Having said, it is far more than our dressing, more than how we speak.
Mm.
It is more than that. You should be able to look at me and be convicted.
Yes, yes, yes.
Again, 2 Corinthians 6, towards the last end, what communion does light have with darkness?
Sense, yeah.
It does not mean there won't be darkness. Remember the woman Jesus met by the well of Jacob.
Yeah.
She was in obscure darkness.
She was.
But here was Jesus relating with her, darkness and light.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it,
she changed.
That should be the question.
That should be.
If I leave you, to what image do I leave you to?
Yeah.
No, it is not about. Don't you say you are a pastor? Don't you say you are a child of God? What are you doing with unbeliever? Rest. If I don't relate with him, how do I tell him about Christ?
That's right. How do you?
How do we convert them?
Right.
How do we expose light to them?
Exactly.
How do we show them the benefit of light?
Right.
Don't coax them.
I mean, even if you don't speak to them, you know, people, human interaction, like you still live in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't expect
you can isolate yourself.
No, exactly.
You want to create your own world.
Because even when you do isolate yourself, then they have the mindset that you just don't like people.
This is where religion comes in again.
Exactly. Exactly. There is that mindset that, okay, he's just too, you know, like, we're too, you know, people have that mindset, we're too,
I forgot the word.
Like, you know, they'll feel like they're just not of a certain standard for you, so we're not on your level.
No, it's more than that.
It's more than
See, this is the word of men.
Yeah.
The heavens and the heavens, scripture say, belongs to God.
That's right.
But the earth has he given to the sons of men.
Yeah.
This is the word of men.
Yeah.
If I choose not to deal with men, who do I deal with?
Exactly.
He has told us, go into the world and preach the gospel. Who do I preach it to? Animals? No. Let's get this clear. To animals?
No, it's true now. Cannot be to animals.
To humans.
To
men.
Yeah, to men.
So I if mean, I choose says, to deal with them, no, this is not my kind. This is, you know, my pastor didn't talk to me. This is not my religion. How then do I fulfill the mandate, what you now call the Great Commission?
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people have that mindset. That's why they don't mingle with
others. On.
Because, like, when you think about it, if you don't, I think some people you may not preach to them, but in your interaction with them, they change.
That's all.
And I remember saying that to somebody, I was like, I know that for, like, I said to myself one time, I was like, anybody that I meet, right, I may not. I may never give them a scripture, but their life has to change.
You
because
be
they met me. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Because they met me,
they met God, because
exactly.
God is in
exactly.
me. You know what I mean? And we are in the image of Christ. You know, and I think if everybody has that consciousness, definitely people around you will definitely see the light, right? Far from us giving them scriptures, or maybe inviting them to church, just a conversation, right? A conversation with somebody can go a very long way. I heard of someone who, she said she had a neighbor in the U.S. that her neighbor was homosexual, right? They were even married.
Okay.
But you know, she's a pastor, her and her husband, and so she said that, you know, husband didn't necessarily want to talk to them, but she was like, we have to talk to them, unless we won't be able to know. Right. But aside from that, I remember I had a teacher in high school. She was also a lesbian. And I remember I would sit in class, I would talk to her, maybe after school, apart from helping me assignments, I would just speak to her. She knew that I was a child of God, right? But I think before I left, I remember she said that one thing that she appreciated was that I was, you know, she knew that I was deeply rooted in Christ, but that I was open to like hearing what she has to say.
Very bad.
And accepting her. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I know she knows that I definitely don't agree with what she's doing, but the love of Christ.
The love of Christ.
You know what I mean?
The love of Christ.
Because then there were still people in my class who would definitely, you know, act a certain way towards her because, you know, she's a lesbian. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, but whether you know they're lesbian or not, there's that love of Christ, which is still in the nature of God. Right?
That's the nature of God. The very nature of God.
The very nature of God that we need to show to everyone around us, right? And going back to holiness, if we are cautious of that, then we can spread that to everyone around us. Because how do people know if you, like, not everybody's going to listen to you.
Not everybody.
Even teachers stand and teach, people don't listen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't listen.
It's true.
So talk less of you. I mean, there's different people in this world. We have to find the way
to reach out to them.
Reach out to them.
It must necessarily not be by preaching.
It might not be.
John 13:35, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another.
That's right.
So there are some persons that we need not to preach to. Be open.
Be open, yeah.
Show them love.
Show them love. Love conquers all.
Just show them love.
Show them
Leave love. Criticism alone.
I saw a post the other day of an atheist or a Satanist who repented because, like, some Christians showed him love.
Wow.
Just love. You know what
I mean? Just love.
Just love. Because some people, there's some things that people are looking for that they haven't found. Mm. Right? And just by the love of Christ that you show to them, embodying God's nature, you know, they meet that. You know what I mean? They'll meet that in you, and they will begin to see that, okay, one of our mommies told us a story of how she gave her life to Christ because nobody really necessarily preached her, but she said she had, when she was in school, there was this, I think, headmistress or so, who were always arguing, her and her husband, they were always fighting, breaking things up and down. And then there was these other teachers, they were white, and they were always laughing, you know, holding hands and all that. Mm. And she said she went to meet them. She was like, I want to know the secret to your peace and the joy and you guys have, you know, like in your home. And then she told her about Jesus Christ. Now, she didn't necessarily go to a crusade or anywhere, but in their life, you know, and the life that they lived, she was able to see the light of God.
Mm.
You know, just by that, because they embodied Christ.
They embodied Christ.
They embodied Christ. I think that's really just what, like, the most important thing.
The most important.
Yeah.
You see, I think also, you see, on this issue of holiness, one of the reasons why we notice we find it difficult to express the fruit of the Spirit is still boiled down to this.
That's right.
If truly I am living the life I was created for, you know, Ephesians 4:24 talked about holiness and said, let us live it because this was the very life of which we were created for.
Yeah.
Now, the God who created us gave us his parts, his piece of life.
Yeah.
If we should not live the life which he created for, which is holiness,
yeah,
you notice that literally what you call love or the fruits of the Spirit, they manifest themselves.
That's right. They will.
I am of the opinion, I also believe strongly, one of the reasons why it seems as if we are struggling in manifesting the fruit of the Spirit is because we're actually not aligned to the life of Christ. By default, my son has my gene.
That's right.
By default.
By default, yeah.
He needs not to go and adapt or start acting like my child. Something flows in him that comes from me. So if he realize that I am a hell by default, there are some things he will not pray over.
Right.
There are some things he wouldn't struggle over. So if we come back from the word again, I'm going back to that 1 Corinthians 6, be separated. If we now come to the mentality that in first place I was created for him,
yeah,
I'm in his image.
Yeah.
I was created for a purpose. He bettered me from his thought.
Yeah.
And that thought, he gave me a piece of himself, his image. So I am God on it.
Yes.
If I come to that, I will literally live the life he wants me to live. And by so doing, fruits of the Spirit now start manifesting themselves.
Hmm.
Now, let's look at how 1 Thessalonians 3:13 put it. Now, he said, to the end, Now, if I am living that which, or if I'm to live that which you call holy now, mm-hmm. now let's take away the word, let's substitute the word for the very life of Christ. He that called us is holy. So let's say this is God Himself.
Yeah.
So to the end that I love this part. To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So I now have the moral standing, even if I am living here on earth, a world full of iniquities, full of corruption, I am unblameable.
That's right.
I am free, spotless, and guiltless. Even while residing in the world of men full of iniquity.
That's right.
Because I have the very nature of God in me, I can stand before Him blameless.
That's right.
He said, to the end that He may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all His saints. And here is verse 7 of that same 1 Corinthians 4:7. He said, for God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The word again, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but to Himself.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm going back again to Leviticus 19:2. He that has called us is holy. Remember, this is His very life.
Yeah.
So He has not called us to be in the world, even though He has placed us in charge. World.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though He has given us, given the world to men, He knows the possibilities that are within the earth realm. He knows the things man is supposed to encounter within the jurisdiction of the earth. He knows what is obtainable within the flesh.
Yeah.
But the consciousness that He has called me to Himself and not to uncleanness, it will guide and shape me. You see, there is a popular adage to say here that one who does not have helper should have sense and God. You know, you go through university or you go through the school, the college, you see some rich kid.
Yeah.
And you see some persons who, like, they are not that rich, but then somehow their parents are managing to pull them through school.
Yeah,
That should be a very good example.
Yeah.
We're in the same school, but I know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
We are in the same school, but I know my driving force.
That's right.
If you fail now, if you fail as a rich kid, you have a leverage, you have an advantage.
Definitely.
If I fail, there is no advantage at home.
There's none.
I must go through this and make my parents proud, but and make myself proud also.
Exactly.
So if I realize, or we come to that point where we now know that He that has called us is holy, it will not validate what 1 Thessalonians 4:7 is saying. He has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Why He's holy? The very nature of God.
Yeah.
We're not trying to mimic it.
Yeah.
We're not trying to cajole it.
That's right.
We're not trying to pretend who we are not. This is who I am.
I like that you say that. You're not trying to mimic it or copy.
No.
You know,
I think
probably is part, like, maybe part of our problem, you know, comes from trying to copy holiness.
Good.
Right? Or what we believe holiness should be. Whereas, like you just said, that is our very nature.
Our very nature.
That's what God has. Because
for us.
I think even when we think about it, like, in a sense of, like, royalty, right? I remember I was telling someone, I said, if you look at the royal family, they're not worried about where they're they are going to get food tomorrow. Like,
they
know
not.
That if they need to travel, so tomorrow,
they will get it and get
They're not worried about the flight ticket. They're going to go and they're going to travel because they're royalty, right?
Yes.
They were born in, like you said,
into it.
If I have a son, he's not trying to be. Right? He knows that they're born into royalty. They know of the
advantage.
Exactly. The advantage they have. They know the type of the way they're supposed to behave. They know the type of way they're supposed to dress. It's not something that's taught.
No,
they were born there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were born there, so they behave like royalty. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't behave like
every other person. There's this sense of courage with them. There's this sense of belonging they have.
Yeah.
This sense of I am far above. Sense of I am very important.
Exactly.
So you treat me like one.
Exactly.
My presence commands authority. And all that. So this should be the practical mentality which you have with regards to holiness.
That's right. I mean, even in their dressing.
In their dressing also.
You know what I mean? Even in their dressing, like, because I always think about it and I'm like, I was telling someone, I was like, you know, in the church we fight about dressing. It's like the least thing we should be arguing about, to be honest. Like, why are we fighting? Out of all the things we should be fighting about,
it's dressing.
It's dressing we're fighting about.
You see, this dressing is where, if you know who you are, truly.
Yeah.
You will know some things doesn't befit you.
That's right. That's right.
I understand the place of socialization. Mm-hmm. I understand the place of technological advancement. Mm-hmm. I understand the place of belonging. Again, like you did said, let's take reference to the royal family.
That's right.
You can't talk of modesty without talking about the royal family.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't talk of fame without talking about the royal family. Mm-hmm. If this is true, how is that? Did they dress anyhow?
Absolutely not.
So I wouldn't even want to delve into that topic of dressing.
Of course.
But then, some things we call civilization, let's mirror it. Take a very good example. With King Charles, wear some things and walk along the streets. No. Let's talk about it now. Yeah. Or will the son of King Charles or the daughter wear some skimpy things and be moving around?
No.
I am not condemning anybody, please. Mm-mm. Let's get it clear. Yeah. But I feel it boils down to the knowledge of who you are.
That's right.
If you know who you are, you won't do some things.
That's it. If you know who you are. And I think even if we go back to us as children of God, do you know who you are? Right? Like you said, the consciousness of who you are in Christ.
In
you
Christ.
Know, in holiness and in all that.
In Christ.
If you don't know that, you won't, you know.
So it boils down to, we don't even know who we are in the first place. We don't know the life we have received.
Yeah.
We're not trying to receive it. We have received it.
Yeah.
He's given to us that as we now behold him, we are being changed, we are being transformed into the very image.
Yes.
Into the very image.
Yeah.
So if I know this, my focus majorly should be on the manual he has given to me to enable me and help me transform into the very image of Christ.
That's right.
First, I have not received my own life. He gave me the life in the first place. So if you gave me this thing, oh God, how do you want me to make use of this thing? And here he said, I gave you the Bible and then the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide you.
You're trying to figure it out yourself. Because what do you know, to be honest?
What do I even know in the first place? What do I want to figure out in this world?
Yeah.
Where? How? How do you go about it?
Now, how do you go?
So I think it is this struggle and in this unnecessary bustle and hustle that is putting a lot of things in. We are just trying to cover some things that are not supposed. Now, as I try to bring it up to a conclusion, and here was how he put it in Hebrews 12:14.
Okay.
Now this has to do with dealing with men now, because we live in the world of men.
That's right.
And because we live in the world of men, remember he said, I am sending you as wolves, as sheep in the midst of wolves.
That's right.
And be ye wise as the serpent, but gentle as the dove.
Yeah.
Now look at the two contradicting animals he used in illustrating our living on this cosmos.
Yes.
Wolf and a sheep. They are not friends. They can never be friends.
They are not.
The wolf will always, anytime, find a prey in sheep.
Sheep, yes.
And here is a dove and a serpent.
Yeah.
What's the relation? What's the correlation?
Yeah.
But he said to live in this cosmos, borrow the wisdom of the serpent.
Yeah.
But whilst you borrow the wisdom of the serpent, what the serpent is very subtle.
Yeah.
Whilst you borrow that wisdom, in your substitute, be very calm as the dove. You want to live as a sheep in the midst of wolves, you must put on an appearance that will make them see you like, this one, we can't kill this one. Let's let this one be.
I mean, I think even with that, like, I think with the, when we say God is the Lion and the tribe of Judah. Oh, no, he's the Lion and the Lamb, sorry.
Yeah, the Lion and the Lamb, yes.
You know, like, I'm always like, the Lion and the Lamb? Like, you know what I mean?
How is it? Trying to compare.
Exactly. And but honestly, God can be the Lion.
It can be the two.
And he's a lion.
And he's a lion.
Because honestly, if God was just a lamb, everything would
just... everything would just go. You know, we saw that in Revelation 12 now, talking about the five beasts. Mm-hmm, that was captured in God's presence.
Yeah.
That you have the lion, you have the face of a man,
yeah,
you have the face of a calf, and
an eagle.
There are five of them there, mm-hmm, and then one that looked like the face of a man also.
Yeah.
Now, in all of this is not our teaching, I would have delved into it, but then it told us a lot of things. Whilst I try to pride myself as a lion in the world of men, there is a disadvantage to it.
Yeah.
Ego. Mm. While I try to walk knowing who I am a son of God, I am a lion, the side effect to it is pride.
That's right.
So quickly, while you have been doing that, you must remember that you are a man.
Yeah.
The next phase.
That's true.
Comes up.
Yeah.
And then you see the next phase. But we're not going to delve into that. Let me try and yes, it's a topic for another day.
Definitely.
So let's not go into that. Let me try and sum this up. In dealing with holiness and how he told us to walk with men in this cosmos. He said, Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men.
Yes.
And holiness. Now, whilst you are following peace with all men, the word holiness, bear in mind that you are God on it. Remember, you have received the life of Christ.
That's right.
This is God. He who has called you is holy, so you must be holy.
Yeah.
So while I try to live with you holy, I must not forget who I am. Whilst Jesus was eating and interacting with what you call unbelievers, he was conscious of himself.
That's right.
While he was there talking to the woman by the well, he was conscious of himself. While he invited Zacchaeus, come, today I'm coming to your house, and there were a lot of blasphemy, he was conscious of who he is.
Yes.
So, while he said follow peace with all men, but whilst you do that, you must remember who you are.
Holy. Yes. Yes.
You are not trying to mimic it.
Yeah.
It does not stop you from talking to other persons.
Mm-hmm.
It does not stop you from traveling. It does not stop you from dressing. Yeah. But know who you are.
Know who you are.
With that wish, no man shall see God.
God. Yes.
So, how do I see God without living the life he wants me to live? You know, this brings us now to Matthew 7:21-22. Not all that say Lord, Lord will enter, but they that does the will of my Father.
Yeah.
So, but then, he says, some will say, but I prophesy in your name. It's true, but did you do what I asked you to do? By what means did you write that prophecy? You want to see the Father who is now called God? Then you must live to his totality. The blueprint he has for you. Your life must be within what he has given to you. Jesus said, when he came, the first thing he went was to go and look at the scripture and took up the scroll and read that which was spoken of him. And so was spoken of this, to preach this, to preach that, to preach this, to preach that. And at the end, he closed it and handed it over. It was of this, the apostle also said, I come in the volume of the book as it is written concerning me. So if I must live in this cosmos, walk with peace with all men, while I do that, the mentality of who I am in Christ must be seen. I should not be biased. I should not compromise my standard, like Daniel. And Daniel proposed in his heart.
Yes.
He was living in Babylon, is one place full of, you can think of sorcery and all of that. You can think of all manner of things. But then he proposed in his heart. Because this is who I am.
That's right. That's right.
Even when they fathomed a law against him and he was thrown into the den, he did not stop from being who he is.
Yeah.
And here were the three Hebrew boys. O king, thank you. We acknowledge you are king. But why do we acknowledge that? We will not also stop confessing who we are. If it gets you angry, we are sorry, sir, but we will not deny our faith.
Yeah.
How dare you talk to me like that? Throw them into the fire. Okay, if it pleases you, king, no problem. If you take us to die there, we are okay, but we know the God we serve. That's even if you choose not to save us, we are still very comfortable.
Yeah.
Still very comfortable.
Yeah.
As polite as it was, they were kind of, we know the other part of the story.
Yeah.
So these are things, you know, the apostles were apprehended and told them, don't speak of this name again, don't mention it. And he said, we cannot but speak
of it, yes.
The things we have heard and the things we have seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even if you want to kill us, fine. It's better for us. But for these things we know, this is our essence.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we are here. Mm-hmm. So we keep doing it, we keep talking it.
Yeah.
So as I sum up on this, holiness is not the way of life.
Yeah.
This is God.
Yeah.
And if I must live the God life I have now, it's not the God kind of life, the very life of God.
This is your life.
Yes, this is my life.
This is
your life. I must depend on Him. I must come to that point where I now say, Father, not my will, but thy will.
Yeah.
Everything I call mine, let it be harnessed in your will. Mm. And in that, we see ourselves living effortlessly. We see ourselves living the very life of Christ,
God.
Even in this world of men, full with iniquity and wickedness.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. No, honestly, I think, like you said, this is your life.
It's not a way of life.
This is your life.
Yes.
Like, I think if, with that understanding, it helps us to know that, okay, this is my life. It's not something I'm trying to do.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, or something like a. Something I want to venture.
you are not given the liberty to invent your way.
This is your life.
Yes.
God has called you into holiness. You know, and like I was even trying to add to what you were saying about, you said be at peace with all men.
Yes.
Right. And but you know, be the also be holiness. Right. Without this, you know, no man shall see God.
Shall see God.
And if you really think about it, if we don't live at peace with all men, and we're conscious of being holy, some people will never see God.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean? Like they will never even encounter God.
Encounter God
through us before
through
they
us.
Now encounter Him in Himself.
In Himself.
You know, like
yeah.
if we're His image, they, like people should see Jesus in us. People should see God in us.
Simple.
Right. So I think even with that, like there is. So if we don't live at peace with all men, and you know, we're conscious of being holy, some people may never. You know, and so I mean, and I think I like that it says for us to be at peace with all men because
with
some
all
people.
Men.
Live holy, but they are not at peace with people.
Exactly.
Oh, well, they say they live holy, whatever they believe holiness is. Because if you are going to be holy, like you said, the fruit of the Spirit should be
manifested
in us, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Every part, like you know, every part of the Holy Spirit should be in our lives.
Yeah.
So you know, thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us.
For having me.
And I mean, I was blessed. I definitely was. Thank you. For fellowshipping with, you know, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
You know, well, it's always a beautiful time.
Thank you.
But thank you all for joining us. And, you know, please share with somebody. And I hope you join us again soon.
Yeah.
God bless you.
God bless you.